Good evening. Welcome right along to Nottingham. Has the band ever played this town?
I don't think the band's played in Nottingham for about four or five years. It's finding a venue, you know, finding a place that can put on a show.
What sort of crowd do you need to command?
1,200, 1,500, something like that, to make it worthwhile, because it's a big road show to make it round, you know, it's expensive.
I noticed that you've got a tour coming up in the autumn, and Nottingham has missed out again.
Well, we're doing Leicester, and Leicester's not far, is it? So that's not so bad. Yeah, it's the same thing, you know, there's not the venue and the promoters to put it on, you know, and Leicester has got the venues, so, yeah.
What type of show is Hawkwind going to hit the public with when they hit the road?
Well, it is very different from the past live shows. I mean, it still involves lights, not so much of a light show, more back projection than front projection, and three screens instead of one. We also with like scenery, you know, stage scenery as well. So it should be quite a good show.
How much preparation do you have to put into such a complicated show as that?
Well, they've been working, say they, you know, like the sort of backroom boys, yeah, been working on that for a few weeks now, and the scenery is now being made. We start rehearsal was in about a week, you know, so we had about a month's rehearsal rehearsing this show before it goes on the road.
So that's a full rehearsal with lights and all effects?
Yeah, we do. They'll be making their stuff, we'll be rehearsing, and then week before the show, we go to Shepperton Studios for a few days with the whole thing set up as if it's a gig. Mm-hmm. And I hope it works out all right.
Do you still use the dry ice?
No, we haven't been using that. We used a couple of smoke flares at Cardiff the other week. They didn't really have the desired effect. But no, we got a lot of other little toys for this new tour.
Does it ever annoy you when you hear of people that have been to see you and they come away and they say, yeah, Hawkwind had a fantastic light show, but they've forgotten about the music?
No, not really, because I think it's the whole thing. You know, it's not just the band, it's not just the lights, it's a collection. It's more of a sort of theatre sort of thing, theatrical thing, than just a rock and roll band, although we're not using dancers or mimes.
Sounds like a very expensive production.
Yeah, it is.
Would you feel lost if you had to do a normal dancehall gig or a normal university gig without that type of backup?
No, I think it'd be quite good, actually. I mean, I really do think it'd be good for the band to do a few smaller gigs like that, where you just get back down to just the band playing under a few lights, you know. It'd probably sort of give everybody a lot of energy. We did the Cardiff Castle gig, and we played about 5 o'clock daylight, didn't use any screens. We used a few visual effects, but it was a bit weird actually playing in the daylight again. Very unusual.
Had to wear your sunglasses. Now tonight we are privileged indeed, because we've got some tracks from a new album from Hawkwind, which isn't released until September, so we're going to have a few exclusives. Tell us more about the album. What's it called?
The album, it's forgotten. It's got Astounding Sounds and Amazing Music. That's sort of taken from the old science fiction magazines that were around in 30s and things, and that's the way the sort of cover has been done, to look like the cover of one of those old mags. And all the song titles are done so they could be sort of stories, you know, sort of like City of Lagoons, you know, and the Aubergine that ate Rangoon, things like that, you know. I'm quite pleased with it. I think the band's quite pleased with it.
There's no Green Giants then?
Not on this one.
Do you take part in any of the writing?
I didn't on this one, no. I was the only one who didn't actually write a track on this one. Although, when somebody, you know, writes something, it's mainly just like they've got half an idea and the whole band works it out, you know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't write any of these tracks on this one.
Okay, let's go to music, and which one shall we hear?
I think we should start with Reef of Madness.
Music there from the new Hawkwind album, which is an exclusive on Radio Trent tonight. And the album's called Astounding Music. No, Astounding Sounds, Amazing Music. Quite a mouthful. One of the major changes that is visible to anyone is that you've changed from United Artists to Charisma. What was that due to?
I think our contract had just about expired at UA. And I think we'd gone about as far as we could with them. They'd gone about as far as they could with us. You know, like keeping it diplomatic. I think we're better off with a label like Charisma. They're more geared to the sort of things that we need and the way that our music needs to be put over, you know.
There's more young blood.
Yeah, I think you are more interested in their films than their record company side, you know.
Well, they've got Shirley Bassey and Bing Crosby.
There you go.
Do you think this has changed your music in any great way, you know, starting afresh with a new record company?
It's given it like a new enthusiasm because, like, over the last year, we've changed record companies, changed management, changed a lot of attitudes, you know, and it does sort of put a new life into the whole thing, you know. You feel you want to get out there and do it again. Because when you've been sort of on the road for years and years, you tend to get a bit jaded at some points, and you need like a sort of transfusion of energy.
Yeah.
I think this will do it, you know.
Well, one of the things which normally confuses the general public is that when a band leaves a label and goes to a new label, the old label always dig around and dig up all their greatest hits and put them on an album. And that's what's happened to you, isn't it?
Yeah, the Road Hawks album. I didn't listen to it for ages, actually. Right. When I got it, I just looked at the titles on there and thought, oh, yeah. And then one night, sitting around the fire, you know, feeling quite good, thought, well, I'll have a listen to it. Because there's a couple of the tracks on there are different from the ones that were on the albums, you know, different versions, live versions. And some of it I was quite pleased with, actually, you know, some of it quite knocked me out, some of the live stuff.
Yeah.
It's not too badly put together, I suppose, but it's not been, the stereo mix on it isn't very good, you know, that's the thing with compilation albums, and when you leave a label, the record company tend to sort of just shove it out, and they don't sort of rebalance everything up to make it overall a good sound on the record, you know. That's sort of more of a
I noticed the album includes Urban Gorilla, which was banned when it came out as a single, wasn't it?
It's sort of story behind that is a bit unfortunate because Bob had written the lyrics to that a good few years before we ever recorded it. It was, you know, just some lyrics he had sitting around. We did that. It had been out a couple of weeks when we really had the first sort of bad spate of bombs go off in London, and of course the lyrics in it, I'm an urban gorilla, I make bombs in my cellar, and you know, things like that. And it was, I don't know, we felt it was a bit in sort of bad taste, and people were sort of saying, oh, you're cashing in on the publicity, which wasn't true at all. I don't think anybody would want to do that. But of course good old Beeb had banned it anyway, and we thought that under circumstances we got together with a record company and had it taken off the market, which we thought was you know, the better thing to do at the time. It done quite well on the first couple of weeks as well, you know, but no one was really bothered because we never sort of considered ourselves as trying to be a singles band anyway, you know.
Okay, well, let's go into the wind tunnel and hear Silver Machine. If you have just tuned in, this is Chris Baird chatting to Simon King, the drummer of Hawkwind. And there you go, that's Silver Machine, taken from a new compilation album called Road Hawks. And as you may have guessed, it's a much longer version than the single, simply because the single was edited down quite a considerable amount, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been a good sort of 3 minutes, I suppose, we took out of that.
Mm. The actual recording was at the Roundhouse. That must have been quite a phenomenal night because there was a fantastic atmosphere on it.
Yeah, it was a great gig, that one. That was, yeah, it's always been good fun playing the Roundhouse. Mm. Yeah.
Was this particular night just a recording session and you listened back to the tapes and thought, well, we might as well put that out as a single or what?
Well, we taped a couple of gigs sort of during that time. I think the night before and the night after we taped with the sort of idea of getting some live tracks down mainly to use on an album. We ended up not using any of them on an album until now, but we did get Tate Silver Machine out from it, yeah. Which just, it just seemed that the only way we'd do Silver Machine and really capture it with the sort of energy and vibe that was around at the time was to do it live. You know, if we'd gone in a studio and done it, it would, okay, the sound would probably have been better, but it wouldn't have had that feel to it, you know, which I think was quite important.
Is it true to say that Hawkwind are one of the innovators of space pop?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's sort of label, yeah, that other people put on us more than us. But I suppose we've had a lot to do with it, you know, us and other bands like Chan, who are a good band.
How did you get into this vein?
Well, everyone in the band sort of interested in sort of science fiction, science fantasy, bit of lunacy, you know, escaping from reality and things like that, and just sort of evolved.
So you're all science fiction freaks, really?
Well, we all are or have been, you know, and drift back to it occasionally, you know, it's good fun.
There's a book which is coming out, I think, sometime in September, which is called Time of the Hawk Lords, written by a guy called Michael Moorcock, and it's built around the group, isn't it? Can you tell us more?
Well, I haven't read it, so I can't tell you too much about it, but, it's a science fantasy book, and, I mean, anyone who's into science fiction, science fantasy know of Michael Moorcock. He's probably one of sort of Britain's best science fantasy writers, and he's been associated with the band for quite a while, and he's done this book which I think is about the sort of the end of the world sort of thing and the final concert.
Really?
And he's used us because he knows us, he's used, you know, people who are in the band now, people who were in the band, and I look forward to reading what he's got to say about me.
Do you know if you survive or not?
I don't know. I hope so.
Okay, back to your new album, which we're featuring tonight with some exclusive tracks before it's released, and which ones do we have now?
Well, I think City of Lagoons, a nice balance to the other one.
That's City of Lagoons, an exclusive track here on Radio 20 tonight for the new Hawkwind album, yet to be released, called Astounding Sounds, Amazing Music. Back to Simon. The band has had a lot of upheavals over its existence. How has it survived?
Well, people come and go. Mainly, they come and go of their own sort of will more than any sort of bad scenes.
Yeah. You got off to a very good start with Steel Machine getting into the public's eye, but there didn't seem to be any great forceful follow-up at all.
No, well, we had the Urban Gorilla episode. And we didn't really sort of fancy ourselves as releasing too many singles. We sort of concentrate more on albums and gigging, and we went and spent quite a bit of time in America. But we just didn't really see the point in putting out a lot of singles, you know, so we never bothered really following it up.
How are you regarded in America?
In parts, there's parts of the States where we can go and we can play to thousands and thousands of people, and there's other parts where we really have to go in and with another act who can pull the crowds and still sort of got, we still got a break on the West Coast, whereas Midwest and East Coast, you know, we can go and headline there. It's good fun working in the States, you know, your audience, I don't know, a lot of the audiences are a lot more together, I don't know, over here just lately, this last sort of tour we did over here, there seemed to be a lot of kids getting really messed up, you know, and that's a bit of a drag to see that, you know, you know, really sort of falling about and drunk and, you know, very young as well, you know, very young kids, it's a shame. It was in a place called Hammond in Indiana, which is just south of Chicago, and it's a real sort of industrial wasteland. And we did the gig, and halfway through the gig, sort of roadie creeps on and says, "Look, don't worry, but you're going to get arrested when you come off." You know? So, well, we thought it was hilarious. You know? Well, we came off, and there's two lines of state troopers from the side of the stage to the dressing room. And suddenly realised that it is quite heavy, you know, but we're feeling good, we've done a good set, gone down well, you know, we didn't really mind. Got into the dressing room, and there's a guy there from the, he was from the tax people, American tax people, and it was, he was demanding so much money on the spot, which, of course, you know, is ridiculous, because no one carries a lot of money around in cash in the States. So, we were, like I said, we were all feeling pretty good, and we were having a bit of a laugh with this guy, and all of a sudden, this huge hunk of person who'd been standing in the corner in plain clothes, looking like a sort of carbon copy of John Wayne, you know, it's obviously sort of his hero, you know, stepped forward, pulled out his badge, you know, and went through the whole rap, and it was just like a TV thing, you know, it's sort of, I'm a Federal Bureau of Investigation officer, and on, you know, the whole bit, you know, and I mean, we were cracking up until he pulled his jacket back. There's a huge 38 or something like that in the shoulder holster, you know, and we all just all went white and quiet and, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, you know. It's a bit freaky, you know, when that happens to you, you know. Because you see, you know, you see it all the time on the dance.
Did you tell the audience that you were going to be arrested when you left the stage?
No, no.
You'd got a few cheers.
Well, probably, yeah. But, like, there are a lot of weird scenes over there with their, you know, sort of, they have, like, the riot police sometimes around in the big halls, play 10,000 people. There's a lot of very heavy sort of security. And if they start leaping about too much, you know, it sometimes causes a bad scene, which is a bad scene in itself.
Did they try to confiscate your gear?
Yeah, what they did was they said, well, you've got to pay us so many $1,000s. And we said, well, you know, we haven't got it. it'll have to be sorted out with the offices. You know, it's nothing really to do with us. And so they confiscated all the equipment. They went around putting little stickers on saying property of US government impounded. And we had to blow out a couple of gigs, and it took 4 days for us to get the equipment back eventually. It all sorted itself out, and in fact we were in the right and they were in the wrong, and it had been a bit of paper lost along the line somewhere, you know. But
well, you lived through it, that's the main thing. Tell us about the new single, which is Curb Crawler.
Yeah, that's a track from the album. That's Bob and Dave wrote that. It's a bit different, you know, from most of the things we do. You know, it's got the chicks' voices on, and it's got Nicky and Bob doing a brass section.
It's also got the whistle on it.
it's a good sort of rock and roll beat, you know. It wasn't really done as a single. It was done and put it on the album, and a record company wanted to take a single off it, and that was the obvious choice, you know. It makes a good live number. In fact, it's Paul Rudolph who plays lead guitar on that. He's the bass player. He used to be with the Pink Fairies, you know. He's an excellent guitarist, and we're featuring him more and more on stage playing guitar, but it's him who plays guitar on that single, you know.
Simon King, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And we'll finish up with the new single from Hawkwind, Curb Crawler.